Well, howdy, roofers, and welcome to Roofer Growth Hacks, the podcast that is dedicated to highlighting those in the roofing industry, learning how they overcame their growth challenges with creative growth hacks and connecting them with others in the roofing industry. I'm your host, Chris Hunter, founder and chief marketing officer of RoofingSites.com. I'm also the author of The Ultimate Guide to Digital Marketing for Roofers. Got a little story for you, roofers. Al Levy with the 7 Power Contractor is a third generation contractor that built up his HVAC, plumbing, and electrical company and sold it to his brothers. He now helps contractors, which by the way also includes roofers, build their systems that they need in order to do the same. In this episode, Al shares his 7 powers and how he built and systemized his company. So be sure to listen up as Al shares some awesome growth hacks. All right, Al, thank you so much for coming on Roofer Growth Hacks and sharing all of your knowledge that you're about to share with my audience here.
My privilege. I've been around quite a while and learned quite a few things, and most of them because I fell in a lot of holes. And the only credit I give myself, Chris, is when I dug myself out of that hole, I said, man, that hurt. Let's not do that again. But yeah. I coached so many people and watched them fall in the same hole they just got out. So I've got a lot to share.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. So let's kick this off. And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your entrepreneurial journey? Where did you start? Where are you now?
Yeah, so I have a trace of my New York accent, although I've been living 22 years in Arizona. Okay. And basically, my family business that I was born into was originally in heating. And then I helped with my two older brothers and my dad move us into plumbing, gas heating, cooling, and electrical finally is portrayed. We were the third generation, my brothers and I. And then today, I'm proud to say my nephew is there with my middle brother, who's fourth generation. And what that really speaks to is having systems. Systems or documented systems is something we put in that really changed it, because we started out of my grandfather's gas station in 1936, and we didn't have any of this till the 90s. And I can tell you, we made money, but it was crazy, hard, stressful. So that's why my book is all about less stress and more success, Chris.
Love that. Love that. So what do you do now, and how do you help the people that you do help?
Yeah, so 22 years ago is when I started my own business. But be aware, I gave my brothers and my dad 3 years' notice. I hope you guys are laughing. Think about your employees giving you two weeks, 1 week, a day. Sometimes we used to have to find the keys. This is before GPS, and figure, are they coming back? So yeah, I gave them 3 years' notice to work on the systems and get everything transitioned. So the last 22 years, I've been working myself, basically doing one-to-one consulting with companies from everywhere else. So I want to make sure you guys as roofers don't say, oh, this doesn't apply. Oh yeah, it does. It totally applies to you. And the reason it applies to you is, yeah, certainly I worked with a commercial roofer in Iowa, as a matter of fact, and my programs have roofers in this right now, residential roofers as well. So I learned the terms high slope, low slope, and you know, all the key things about what I already knew, because we did residential, commercial, and industrial, because doing those four trades alone would be too easy, right? So that made it more difficult doing a bunch of audiences. But we really learned the difference of when you have systems, it allows you to do what was always puzzling to us. We were a New York City union shop. So to say it was contentious would be a mild understatement. And when I arrived, I finally just said to the guys that were there is that the way I see it, we are wrestling to the edge of a cliff. Wow. And you know what? I'm okay with going over. But if you and I can work together, we can figure out a way to make each other's lives better. And credit to these guys. They said, yeah, let's do that. And that's where all of this stuff came and really got the buy-in and got them taking in. The biggest thing we had to start with was the right org chart. And then how do we cover the boxes on that org chart with the right manuals that cover 80% of what's, you know, goes on in those boxes? Because you guys will appreciate this as roofers. So when you have to put a heating unit or a cooling unit up on the roof, it's called a rooftop unit. Mm-hmm. You probably know about it because you have to work around us. So anyway, so the rooftop units, when it's nobody's job, here's what happens, Chris. You either have zero cranes or two cranes, and both are bad scenarios because it's nobody's job. So that was really one of the biggest things about the org charts and the manuals. Whose job is it? And then we created a depth chart. Just like football, you know, if the center gets hurt, we don't stop playing football. Somebody's cross-trained. And even though you'll see on my org chart is there's many boxes, and you go, well, when I get big, I'll be there. No, the day you put the key in the door and said, hey, I'm going to be in the roofing business, guess what? You got all those boxes. Bad news is you don't have those people. And that's okay. Here's what I can share with you. It's very common, even for the bigger companies I work with, because that org chart is at work today from 1 million to 200 million in Canada, United States, Australia, New Zealand, and UK, because they're online programs now, which to me is super exciting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep. So that's really where things started to change for us. It was in the 90s. Mm-hmm. I spent $150,000 in today's money of my family's business to bring in a professional writer who was a friend of mine to run all these meetings. Because what he pointed out to us is that each of us in these positions actually interacts and interferes or either makes the other person better. We didn't understand that relationship. And because of his distance, he was able to do that for us. And of course, it's a fraction of what is today. But we paid off that $150,000, Chris, within 2 years. Two years. The reason why is it drove our callbacks down because they were killing us. We could never get to new work because we were chasing old work. And then we were able to maximize each call that we went on. Plus, we always had way more work than we could humanly do in a day because we were great marketers. Yeah. And also, we got really good at acquisitions too. So we were always growing. The problem is, you know, having enough techs in the pipeline. So we learned how to leverage this org charts manuals into what, can I tell a quick story?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Because if you're seeing this, not hearing it, there's an old guy talking to you. Mm-hmm. And so I was not born old, but here's what I can tell you. One day, my brother Richie and I, we were the outside guys. Brother Marty was really the inside guy, which was fortunate for all of us. And we were a company of 70 people, 17 million, 25 techs. My brother Richie and I, probably 25, 30 years old, sitting in an audience, and the guy on the stage says the average age of the tech is going to be 50. And when you're 25, 30 years old, the thought of 50-year-olds out there running around all day, it's like freaked out. So we got busy building the hands-on training center. So I was training these guys to do the work.
Yeah.
And then they would get out of the training. And a year later, Richie would call me up and go, didn't you show him this? And I go, yeah, I did, Rich. And then he'd call up again and go, did you show him this? I go, yes. They've been out of the training for a year and there's nothing to connect to. So it caused us to back up and write the manuals. And when we got done, Chris, we looked at the training center and said, we built it all wrong.
Oh, no.
Reason why it's funny is because the manuals and what's in the table of contents is what you need to train them on.
Yeah.
And so that's informs what you need to do in the right hands-on training center. So that's what builds on the first part of this. And then training curriculum, and then becoming better trainers yourself. And the reason I stress this about becoming better trainers, I never wanted to teach anybody any of this stuff. Neither did my brother, but we also didn't want to be awakened every night because we were a 24/7, 365 shop.
Right.
And many of the other shops that I work with, the same kind of thing is, but the reality is, if you're going to get all of your training from outside, it's going to be wildly inconsistent and not yours, number one.
Right.
Number two is what we knew is from, because we went through a lot of training, there are some people that are great. They really know their subject. The problem is they're so boring and you will be asleep. So unless you know how to learn in your sleep, my recommendation is you've got to solve it a different way. And the other ones is periodically you would have a really charismatic, funny person teaching a class until you ask them any question of any depth on any technical thing. And pretty soon you go, no, they don't know what they're talking about.
They don't know the material. Yeah.
So the point being is when you become a better trainer, which is a learned skill, you know, this is kind of like, you know, when it's kind of like the idea that they're, that, you know, oh, he's going to be a great salesman because he's a good talker. Let me help you out. No. Sales is all about listening, not talking.
That's right.
And so here's the funny part about it. When I committed to becoming a better trainer, my sales, which were already good, got better.
Wow.
And here's the other one that's really good, is that I actually got better as a parent.
Yeah.
And the reason I got better as a parent is because instead of talking to my kids, I would ask good questions, shut up and listen to what they actually had to say, which is the same idea. When you're doing training, you're selling a concept and you have to have a lot of carrots as to why they should want to learn whatever you're teaching them. But once you can do this, like I did with the commercial roofer, this really goes to marketing, which is why we're here, is marketing. And people think you know, all of this stuff is about, yes, I need manuals and organization and what I call operating power. And then, yes, I need staffing power so I can make my own techs better and I can make my own techs, which really became our thing was we don't offer jobs, we offer careers. That was really our thing because we wanted to be the employer of choice, which we did get to that point. But the point of this is when you do all of this, there's a huge marketing advantage because you can take pictures and videos, which I encourage. You can bring people in to see it, which totally differentiates you. And what I would help my clients, which is come up with what we did years ago, 10 great reasons to choose us. So number one is, Chris, doesn't matter who I send to do your roofing, they all pretty much do it the same way because we have industry leading manuals that we're all practiced on.
Yeah.
Not only that, know that we've been trained in our own in-house training center on roofing. So we are expert. We're not coming to your house to learn how to do a roof job today. This also leads to why we have the most definitely longest warranty and best warranty out there, because the quality of work we do is something that's already been trained and practiced in our own sense. So it really just builds this marketing advantage.
So let me ask, right? So it sounds like you should have started with that training part, right?
And I should have, you know, right. And, 20, was yeah. that hindsight 2020?
Yeah.
Yes. We should have started with the org charts, the manuals, because that's what you need first to really do the second part, which is what I call staffing, which is where you leverage those manuals into the right hands-on training center. There's a training curriculum, which I call training blocks, and then the skills it takes for you to become a better trainer. Yes.
So as a roofing company owner, let's say that you're a roofing company owner and you've got maybe one or two employees, okay? And you're at roughly $1 million, you know, per year. Do you recommend that they take their time and start building those manuals, basically a playbook?
Yes. And, it, you know, it's the misconception is, yeah, I'll get that org chart when I get bigger. Mm-hmm. The fact that you don't have the org chart is keeping you small.
Yeah.
And so you need the org chart from day one. I don't care what size you are. And do recognize your names in multiple boxes. That's just what it is. And but you can't even give the boxes off until you know what the boxes are, number one. And number two, if you don't have a manual that covers 80% of what goes on in those boxes, a willing person cannot move your name down the depth chart, which is what the goal is. So I talked about 25 techs. Early on, I was the second best tech. If you want to know who the first best tech was then and probably still is today, it's my brother, Richie. And so, people ask me if I'll ever quit. I go, or, you know, retire. And I go, yeah, but it'll be feet first. Yeah. So he's still out there running around having fun, but he doesn't have to. We moved our names down the depth chart. I would still run calls right to the very end. And the reason I did it was, I just loved when a tech would come to me and tell me, you know what, you can't do that repair in that time and you can't sell it for that much money. And I would go, I understand, Chris. I tell you what, why don't you be my helper today and let's go see how we do.
Love that.
And the same thing with the big ticket guy, like the, you know, who would sell the project job.
Yeah.
And they would tell me the same thing is, you know, you can't sell, our prices are 30 to 50% higher. And, you know, that's, everybody's just interested in price. And I go, totally hear you, Chris. Tell you what, I've got a couple of quotes to go on today. Why don't you come ride with me? Let's see how we do. And that's why I always kept my finger in it because I just love those kind of occasions.
Love that. Love that. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your training program now, your coaching system?
Yeah. So I used to travel all over this great country in Canada. But what really happened is, you know, I was supposed to do this as my second career for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm coming home from a great flight. I worked at an electrical shop. There were 10 shops in Alabama, Tennessee. And I was working with a giant roofing company who's, he was 15 million and losing money when I first started in 2017. And today he's 250 million making a ton of money, which is a really sweet story. A lot of that is, you know, his leveraging the systems. It's not, oh, because Al, but yes. And so I got sat in the chair. It was 2019. I'm like, you know, 17 years in and I go, it's never going to get better than this. And flying around, here's what happened. My butt got wider and the seats got narrower, and that's a bad combination. So I started to run workshops where I brought people into Arizona, which is a nice place to come. And we, myself and the person who worked with me, we put together a great workshop for doing these programs. And with that, we came up with, you know what, we could help a lot more people if we could put this online. So that's what we did back in 2018. We put the first program, signature operating manual systems, which is the org charts, the manuals. That's really the foundation. That takes control of your company today, but it does more than that. It adds the foundation to, just like Tommy, wherever you want to go, 15 to 200 million, it's the same foundation. Just the good news is you get to have more names on your depth chart. And then the second program we put online, which is the way I did it when I was working one-to-one, was a staffing program, which is signature staffing systems, which does the following based on that org chart. It takes young, willing apprentices with no skills to willing techs with great skills. And there's a ladder, apprentice to junior tech to senior tech. And as your company gets bigger, senior tech to field supervisor service. On install, apprentice to junior installer to senior installer, and senior installer to an install field supervisor. Install field supervisor and service field supervisor, the misconception is that they ride around all day, Chris. They do not. Their job is to get their team started, make sure they're off to a good start for the day, and then they go get busy doing whatever work they're doing. And then those guys will check in with him, or if they have a problem and they're stuck and there's an issue, that's their first line of support. So not everyone is trying to go through the service manager or the install manager, because they become a choke point at your own company. That's really an issue.
Yeah.
And they have a vested interest in getting these guys because it is the thing. But here's the point. Just because I'm a good tech or a good installer doesn't mean I'm going to be a good field supervisor.
Sure.
How would I know how to be a boss? And you're really not a boss. You're like a big brother, big sister is what that position is. Well, here's the answer. There's two ways. You have watched the movie Horrible Bosses, and now you're going to be an SOB to everyone.
Right.
Or you're going to try and be everybody's friend. And guess what? Both of those don't work. So senior tech to field supervisor is a qualify, compete, and then train, which sets you up to own that box because it's rented at a quarter at a time. And the reason it's rented is because the nature of where it is on that org chart, if you're awful, you're sabotaging your team.
Yeah. How do you train that person then to become a leader of that team?
Yeah, so that's what you're doing. First of all, this goes back to, again, what you needed to do in the first program, because their first, second, and third thing, as all managers are, becomes holding the people beneath them on the org chart accountable to their own manual to make sure that they are really trained on those manuals and any other associated training in that process. Because otherwise, it's just going to be, they're on the box, but here's what goes on. Hey, Chris, where do I get the right ladder to go on the roof?
Yeah.
And you give me the answer. And back the next day is like, Chris, I was trying to listen to you, but I had a fight with my wife before I came in. And so I was obviously distracted. Chris, where do I get the ladder? And if you come back the next day and they ask the same question, because here's what your staff will do to you if you allow it. If you're willing to be the question answer person, they are always willing to be the question person. And they will rob your day 5 minutes at a time. People always ask me, I don't know where my day goes. I know where your day goes. Your staff hijacks it by saying to you, got a minute. And because you guys are so busy, you think, you know what? It's just easier. Let me give them the answer. And the problem to that is instead of teaching me how to fish, you're going to hand me a fish, which trains me to keep coming to you for a fish.
Absolutely. I love that. Absolutely love that. And it sounds like all of these systems will help roofers, right? Because you're
oh yeah, yeah. There's roofers in this program already. Everyone has the same basic org chart, service install, and even if you don't have a service department, if you just do install work, let me help you out. You have a service department when the install team messes up. Somebody's going back. The problem is it's a warranty service wing, which means it's a money loser, but it still has to be set up so that you're clear about how to run callbacks. Otherwise, they're just going to keep on cascading on you. And so everyone really has the same org chart. That's really the difference here.
Interesting. So who gets the most value of coming to and into your world and into your coaching systems?
Really, it's, from companies that are from 1 million to 200 million in sales are the ones that get the most benefit. If they're a contractor, if they get a phone call from a residence, a commercial, whatever, and then somebody has to go to the place and either ask questions and do service, or somebody goes there to give a bid, and then there's an install team that's coming to fulfill that, whatever was sold, the big ticket.
Sure. Awesome. Let's switch gears here a tiny bit. What advice would you give to someone just starting out that is, let's say, at that $1 million level, right, with their roofing business? What advice would you give to them?
Yeah, I would tell them, first of all, I'm sorry. And second of all, every one of us that ever started that way, you have to say yes to everything. That's normal. But by the time you get to a million, you're starting to earn the right to realize what are you really good at? And that takes some financial knowledge and knowing how to do budgets to really know. Because I was fooled, let me tell you, I was fooled for years. We would do back in the 90s, early 80s and 90s, a job for $150,000, which was a big job back then. And we thought, for sure, there's got to be money here. And the answer is, when we finally tallied it up, there was not, because it was something we were not good at. What we found out that we were good at is one-day job, two-day jobs, five-day jobs, 2 weeks, and then anything more than that. Most of it we needed to sub out and just, you know, charge our commission above that, and really clear on what we did really well and what we did not do really well, and get people trained up on those things. So to a person, best thing that you could do now, in my opinion, is to understand a platform. So here's a plug. I'm showing it, but it's called the 7-Power Contractor. Honestly, I don't need the 50 cents from the Audible version or the $25 for the book itself, but I wrote it to be very skinny. If you see it, really skinny. I have probably 250 published articles already that could have gone in. I could have made this book incredibly fat. Yeah. To my way of thinking has always been, because I did a lot of reading, is the best business books I've ever read basically are 150 pages or less. Because I think if it's not, I don't think the person who's writing has got enough clarity. You can always make a sequel, but really that's, my book was designed to be read in 2 to 4 hours. I'm dyslexic like a lot of contractors, and you know, concentration span is difficult. It is also why I put it in Audible, because who wouldn't want to listen to this voice, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like listening to mine, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's really the reason why I stress that is it is the 7 big building blocks for every company. So it's planning, operations, staffing, sales, sales coaching, financial, and marketing. 7 things that you need to master. And think of those as 7 big building blocks. So that's really goes under the foundation of your company, the million. But you want to pick a foundation that can support future growth. You don't want to put a foundation and then you're going to have to rip up and start all over again. So part of that thing too is really understanding, you know, when you start hearing great ideas like this podcast,
and
Facebook groups and things of that nature, I really pity you guys in some way. We thought we were overloaded years ago because, you know, there were webinars, seminars, there were events, but nowhere near the volume, nowhere near. And industry magazines. But today, I mean, you are constantly bombarded with new information and new ideas. And I'm not saying anything about it being wrong or anything, but here's what I would share with you is, how do you know if you're listening to a genius or an idiot? And that's really part of your problem and your skills. So with the 7 power block, you kind of get a better idea where it fits in. The other way that in the book I talk about Frankenstein, where you're just pulling pieces from all over. And ultimately, you're building a Frankenstein. But really, the analogy I like even better today is, Chris, if I gave you the power to build your dream car, would you start with a Toyota chassis, a Ford engine, and Hyundai seats? But that's what you do, because you're thinking, oh, there's got to be something that I'm missing. And I just heard it from so-and-so. And my friend, who's at, you know, 2 states away, he just put it in and it's magnificent, you know. But they don't all fit together. That's one of the biggest challenges you'll face.
For sure. So looking forward, what are some industry trends, you know, that you see, and how should roofing company owners take advantage of those?
I do think AI is absolutely here. But that was the day that you said, hey, Siri. Yeah. It was here. Everybody's like, you know, we just put a new sexy name on it.
Yeah.
AI is a phenomenal tool, which is funny coming from somebody like me. You think I'm going to say no, but we've always been on the cutting edge of technology. My dad was. Now technology has changed. In his day, you know, he put 2-way radios in his trucks and people were still using payphones. And, you know, we went to cell phones really early and Nextels and all the other kinds of things. We believe in technology, but here's the thing. it's always got to be technology with a purpose. Because if you don't have a purpose, you'll get every shiny object out there. And that also, too many of those things, it's kind of like, you know, if you've ever gotten dressed up in a three-piece suit going to a wedding and you have the gift card, you don't know which pocket's in. So you can do the same thing with too many softwares, apps, CRMs, all these other kinds of things. What AI is, in my opinion, today, it's a good virtual assistant. So if I hired a virtual assistant to go out and do some research, it's still on me. First of all, AI, when it doesn't know, it makes things up.
Yes.
And that's a problem. Yes. The other thing that AI has a problem with is it doesn't care about copyrights. Well, you might think, so what's the difference? Ultimately, that comes back on you. And depending on how much you built on it, that's a problem. That is not a reason not to use AI. You do want to streamline as many of your processes, but I still believe you need the org chart. You still need people. And then AI can be an assistant, just like apps can be assistant. You know, texting with customers on the way to the job is really powerful. That they can see a picture, they know who's coming, they have their pedigree. There's so much really cool stuff that I think is really great.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And I 100% agree on the AI thing. I mean, that's obviously something that's, you know, greatly affecting my industry, right? And we embraced it several years ago with several tools. And then ChatGPT came out, of course, about a year ago at this point of time of the drop of this. And, you know, we have greatly used, I would say, ChatGPT in a lot of our processes. And it helps to really fine tune. And I agree on the assistant thing. I use it as an assistant on a lot.
Yeah. If you're using it as an assistant, it's really great because ultimately, you know, you want to know what's going on as an email and you don't have to do as much time in composition and things of that nature. And it's really good. The question comes down is, well, can I have my phone answered by AI? Or, you know, you can,
it's getting close
and it's getting more, you know, intuitive and stuff, but I still think most companies were better served to have well-trained people.
Yeah.
And of course, they can work from home today. I don't believe you should work from home fully. Because what I can tell you with so many companies I work with is, as expected, there's a cultural break and the loyalty to it. So, you know, they need to be in the shop 2 days a week, 3 days a week. That's fine. And they can work from home for other things because of the technology is allowing all of that.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's coming from a company that is 100% virtual, right? We are 100% virtual and have been since COVID, but, you know.
Yes. And when I started my company in 2002, which is ancient, I had nothing but virtual, you know, people, vendors all over the country because I had internet. But, you know, it was like my marketing guy was in Pennsylvania. My writer was in Denver. Mm-hmm. And of course, now, you know, this is all before GoToMeeting, and that's been replaced by Zoom like we're doing today, and, you know, and things that are online. It's so much more is capable, but there still is this, what I talk about, you know, there's such a thing as FaceTime, and then there's still face-to-face time. It's not one or the other. I think there's a use of both.
Yeah. And while I was saying that is that, you know, literally in 2 weeks, I'm heading to Colorado Springs to meet with my ops manager and my business partner, and we're going to do our yearly planning, you know, meeting.
I think that's great. I think that's a great example of where, you know, you do need face-to-face time. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to take a pause here to listen to a message from our sponsor, RoofingSites.com. Since 2018, RoofingSites.com has helped roofers double their sales by getting their marketing right using the 4R roofing marketing system. If you're a roofing company owner wanting to grow your business, be sure to go to roofingsites.com and sign up for a roofing marketing strategy session with me. Okay, well, this leads us into our lightning round.
Okay.
You ready for our lightning round?
We have one rule for it. So I am plugged in.
We have one rule, and it's one rule is an easy rule. You have 1 minute or less to answer each question. You ready?
Okay.
All right. So, Al, what is your favorite personal hack, book, or podcast?
Personal hack is I finally learned how to master my calendar. And I was given this great advice by two industry friends who traveled when I first started it 22 years ago. They said, if you don't take control of your calendar, you'll be living on an airplane and you will be divorced. I'm happy to say I'm married 46 years and I haven't found my clothes out on the yard when I come back, which is always good.
Love that. And by the way, one of my mentors also told me that, you know, and he calls it blocking and tackling.
Blocking. Yep.
you block it out on your calendar and then you tackle it during that time. And
I like it.
People honestly look at my calendar and they get freaked out because there's like a million items on it. And basically I'm taking my tasks and putting them on the calendar.
And that's actually what I taught clients. If you don't put it on the calendar, that was just a nice idea you never got done.
Okay, Al, what is your favorite business hack now? And this could be a book, podcast, whatever. Anything
good? Actually, I only keep one little thing, souvenir up over my desk. And it was from Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson, that book. And it's unfortunately, it was a short book. So people write it off. And it is so powerful. And I look up at it every now and then because what it speaks to is change, which is one of the most difficult things we humans have. And I look up at it periodically just to go, hey, am I getting outside of my comfort area? Am I, paying attention? So yes, that's one of my best hacks.
Love it. And by the way, that's one of our core values is adaptability because, we're in an industry in marketing that changes on a dime. So, Okay. So what is the best advice that you've ever been given and bonus points for how you actually applied it?
Okay. Well, I was complaining to my dad, who was my biggest mentor. I said, Dad, we need some more big ticket sales, but obviously right now we don't have the sales to support that person. So my father, who was a very quiet, nice guy, starts going, so you're saying we don't have the sales to hire that person, but we don't have the sales until we hire that person. And then he's doing this back and forth. And finally looks up at me and he goes, Al, sometimes you have to stand at the bridge and know that you can jump and survive the fall.
Love that. Just got to stand at the bridge.
And the fall. Actually, when I went into this business, I stepped into nothingness because I wasn't going to leave my brother short for that 3 years that I was working. And so there was no money coming in at the beginning of my career. And I was working. And the words that my dad had said, act like you've been in business for a while makes business decisions easier. And so I had to eat that. I had to eat that advice with a shovel.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, Al, how can the Roofer Growth Hacks family get in touch with you and how can we support you and encourage you moving forward?
Well, one of the things I've been doing for all these years is I offer a free 30 minutes to any contractor. And it's really to just, talk about your business and yes, how my programs can be of service. That's really kind of it. It's a 30-minute Zoom session. All you really need to do is just send an email to al@7powercontractor.com. al@7powercontractor.com. Said you heard me on Roofing Hacks and you'd like to set up a free 30, I'd be happy to do it. Or if you go to my website, 7powercontractor, 7powercontractor, bottom right, it says connect with us and say, I'd like to do that and be happy to do that. And you can also tour the page. There's some good stuff there. I have a lot of blogs.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Well, Al, thank you so very much for coming on and sharing all of your knowledge with the Roofer Growth Hacks family. And we really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. I always appreciate it.
Well, how about that, roofers? Was that pretty amazing or what? I know there were a ton of things that I wrote down inside of my notebook here, but I got to say that the biggest thing that I really resonated with me the most is master your calendar, right? I'm a huge believer in blocking and tackling your time. That's something that a mentor of mine, Mike Cooch, taught me a long time ago. Basically, if you want to do the things that you need to do in order to grow your company, you have to block and tackle your time. You have to be in charge of your calendar, okay? So blocking and tackling is just simply blocking it out on your calendar, put your tasks on your calendar, and then tackle those as they come along. I would say the other thing that really resonated with me was that if you become the answer person, your staff will rob you of your time 5 minutes at a time, right? And I fully believe in that. I believe in training the people that I work with to do a job, right? To do that job and to have ownership of it. If they have to constantly ask you how to do their job, really what that does is that points back to you that you have not, that I have not done my job to train that person correctly. Okay. And most likely what it is that they might be trained, but there's not a manual. Okay. So I really liked his steps of what he talked about there too on, create your org chart, create the manual. And then the depth chart was interesting. If there's a service item that needs to happen, and you don't have enough people, guess who gets to go do that? Well, that's probably you, right? So I'd liked that. And then building the training based off of the manuals. I think that's a really good process there, is that you have to build your playbook of how you build your company, right? And this starts with SOPs. This starts with recipes, basically, of how you to do specific things. And you have to do the training once you get those SOPs in place. So sit down as a business owner and start writing, you know, what is the checklist, right? And if you're not quite sure what that is, you know, maybe you need to reference the checklist manifesto, right? That's a really great book to go back and listen to. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of Roofer Growth Hacks. I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you connect with Al pretty much anywhere that he's at. Go to 7powercontractor.com to connect with him, and as well as use his email address down below if you need to get some help with your business. I also hope that you connect with me while you're online on LinkedIn, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, you name it, I'm out there. So go ahead and find us. And while you're out there, go to roofingsites.com, where you can listen to other episodes of Roofer Growth Hacks.
I'd like to give a huge shout out to those guys over there at roofingsites.com. Their team is absolutely amazing. They've been doing marketing since 2018. If you want to get your marketing right, use their 4-hour system that's developed by Chris Hunter, the author of The Ultimate Guide to Digital Marketing for Roofers. Go check them out. You can go check them out on Instagram, Facebook, pretty much wherever, on any social media.
Also, this past year, I published my book, The Ultimate Guide to Digital Marketing for Roofers. If you're a roofing company owner and you don't have this book in your hands, I will send it to you for free. Just go to go.roofingsites.com and I'll send you a free copy of my book. Well, roofers, join me next time when we connect with another great roofing entrepreneur and learn how they hacked their growth. Until then, I'm Chris Hunter. Thanks and gig 'em.